Hello, this is Sharon, and I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, which is Wednesday, March 4th, 2020. We will begin today's reading with an article entitled, $43.6 million sports complex plan rejected. A proposed $43.6 million sports complex will not proceed, although the local visitors bureau still supports the idea of a sports complex. The Bloomington Normal Area Convention and Visitors Bureau on Tuesday voted unanimously to deny a request of up to $60,000 for the consultant to update its nearly two-year-old feasibility study, put an action plan together to seek private investors, and identify an ideal site for a potential complex. Development of a tournament-grade sports complex remains an objective included in the CVB's two-year strategic plan, which received the unanimous approval of its board on Tuesday. The original proposal was described as a multi-sports complex, but the consultant, Florida-based Sports Facilities Advisory, recently redefined it as a mixed-use, year-round regional destination for a wide range of multi-generational events combined with robust sports tourism operation. "What we see in front of us is not something I can support at this time," said CVB board member and Bloomington Ward 7 Alderman Scott Black in making the motion to deny the funding request. CVB board members Kathleen Lorenz and Kevin McCarthy, who are Normal Council members, agreed with Black's assessment. "As written, I agree that this isn't meeting the needs," said McCarthy. "Not that services from this organization may not be needed in the future, but this particular proposal, we're pretty darn confident at this point, is not the right thing at the right time for the right amount of money." He said Illinois Fire Juniors and Prairie Cities Soccer League are pursuing a parallel track of finding new playing fields. They will lose access to community fields at Central Illinois Regional Airport at the end of 2020. "So letting this particular version of it die, I am in support of, and we're still waiting on what's going to happen on these dual processes that the soccer folks are trying to get done," he said. Black said it would be premature for the CVB to spend money to research something that may not ultimately yield us any good information. CVB Board President Carlo Robustelli said the agency continues to support the development of a sports complex. "That, I think I heard, we're all committed to do, even with the board taking a pause on this particular proposal," said Robustelli. "Infrastructure is really going to determine our ability to be able to bring in more of the sports tournaments and book more businesses." In January, the CVB board unanimously agreed to delay the vote on funding for the SFA study after some board members said they needed to go back to their municipalities to see where they stood or needed to review the project's revised scope. In July 2018, after conducting a three-month feasibility study, SFA said it could be financially feasible to develop a sports complex featuring 16 outdoor fields plus five more multi-purpose fields or two baseball or softball fields that could be used year-round under a dome. That $47,000 feasibility study was paid for by the City of Bloomington, the Town of Normal, and the CVB. The study had figures, projections, and options that would expire after 1.5 years. Officials broadly agreed the project, if pursued, would require funding beyond what the City of Bloomington and Town of Normal could provide, possibly requiring a public-private partnership or grants. In November 2019, SFA submitted a revised project plan to CVB and asked for up to $60,000, depending on the amount of information provided. Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner, a member of the CVB board, previously objected to further study because no one from the private sector had come forward to take lead on the project, which he said needed to happen before any public sector commitment was made. Renner did not attend the meeting Tuesday because he is among the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council's One Voice delegation in Washington, D.C. Today's Flick Fact. Question. So why is it that Bloomington restaurant is called Rob Dobbs? And the answer? 63 years ago, when only 9 years old, Rob Dobbs' co-owner, Robert Bob Dobsky, competed in a drawing contest staged by a Chicago TV station, sketching a picture of his own mother. His father suggested he sign it Rob Dobb. Today in history, today is Wednesday, March 4th, and it's the 64th day of 2020. There are 302 days left in this year. Today's highlight on March 4th, 1865, President Abraham Lincoln was inaugurated for a second term of office. With the end of the Civil War in sight, Lincoln declared, "With malice toward none, with charity for all." On this date in 1789, the Constitution of the United States went into effect as the first federal Congress met in New York. The lawmakers then adjourned for lack of a quorum. In 1791, Vermont became the 14th state. In 1793, George Washington was sworn in for a second term as President of the United States during a ceremony in Philadelphia. In 1925, President Calvin Coolidge's inauguration was broadcast live on 21 radio stations coast to coast. In 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt took office as America's 32nd president. In 1964, Teamsters President James Hoffa and three co-defendants were found guilty by a federal court in Chattanooga, Tennessee, of jury tampering. In 1977, some 1,500 people were killed in an earthquake that shook southern and eastern Europe. And a thought for today from D.H. Lawrence, the English author who lived from 1885 to 1930. "I want to live my life so that my nights are not full of regret." And from the pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies Locally, 100 years ago, March 4th, 1920. This winter's drought was broken by Bloomington's first rainfall in 3 weeks. The local cisterns were almost all dry, and the downpour of last night will increase the supply of soft water. This winter has little, no snowfall, but now it's March, so more storms lie ahead. 75 years ago, on March 4, 1945, local doctors are swamped with calls for minor ills. The McLean County Medical Society says a little home remedy would go a long way toward relieving overworked physicians. Remember, the society says, half the doctors are in the service, so there's a shortage. 50 years ago, on March 4th, 1970, Normal Mayor Charles Baugh took it personally when voters approved a switch to the council-manager form of government. He resigned without giving a date for leaving office. Baugh had campaigned against the change and called the results a no-confidence vote. And 25 years ago, on March 4, 1995, a California-based firm has brought the Stroh Inc. Pathology Laboratories on South Mercer Avenue. Dr. Hans Stroink will continue as pathologist, and Susan Stroink Pickering will stay on as manager. The new owner has labs in 45 states. Sports editor to retire. Kindred has worked for the Pantograph for almost 42 years. Randy Kindred, sports editor of the Pantograph since 2012 and part of the sports staff for almost 42 years, announced his retirement on Tuesday. Kindred, 62, began working for the Pantograph sports department as a part-timer while a student at Illinois State in April 1978 and joined the full-time staff in October 1979. A native of Atlanta, Kindred has won numerous awards for stories, and his popular column, which began in 1989 and will continue. Kindred's last day at work will be March 20th, although he will continue to write columns for the newspaper. It has been a pleasure and a privilege to work 40-plus years for the newspaper that I grew up reading. But it's time for me to take a step back and enjoy my family and friends, said Kindred. I have great respect for the people I work with and those I have worked with in the past. This is a newspaper with a tremendous history, and that is a direct result of the pride with which these people have taken in delivering the news every day. I am especially grateful to have developed the relationships and friendships with my co-workers in the sports department. We have covered thousands of teams over the years, while at the same time forming the best team anyone could ask for in our office. I will greatly miss the day-to-day interaction with my longtime sports colleagues, Jim Benson, Randy Scherer, and Randy Reinhard. I look forward to continuing to contribute to the Pantograph as a columnist and sharing stories that impact our lives and touch our hearts. Justin Kahn, Central Illinois Deputy Sports Editor, will oversee the sports department at the Pantograph. Randy is an incredible talent who spent his career chronicling the achievements of so many athletes in this community, said Central Illinois editor Chris Coates. I'm sad about his retirement, but we're lucky to have his columns continue to appear. ISU recommends students return. Illinois State University strongly recommends that students studying in Italy and Japan return to the United States because of the coronavirus outbreak. ISU has been in contact with the students and will assist with academic arrangements and some travel costs, according to a message sent to faculty, staff, and students by ISU President Larry Dietz. The university is communicating with students currently studying abroad. Students currently studying in Italy and Japan have been informed that the university strongly recommends that they return to the U.S. at this time, Dietz said in the message. We've got 15 students in Italy and 4 in Japan, ISU spokesman Eric Jome said Tuesday. The university is restricting travel to countries with level 2 or higher outbreaks based on travel advisories from the Centers for Disease Control. The CDC defines level 2 as sustained ongoing community transmission. Level 3 is defined as widespread community transmission. On Monday, the CDC placed Italy at warning level 3. Avoid non-essential travel. Japan was at alert level 2. Countries currently at or above level 2 include China, Japan, Iran, Italy, and South Korea. Next week is ISU's spring break. There are no international alternative spring breaks planned this year, but we know this is a big travel time, said Jome. Knowing that spring break is coming up, that's something we'll continue to watch, he said. The university is urging people to keep up with developments through trusted sources, such as the CDC, cdc.gov, and practice good hygiene, said Joan. Be aware, this is a quickly evolving situation, he said. Dietz wrote that although the overall threat to the campus is considered low, staff across campus, including the management team and student health services, are closely monitoring developments and developing contingency plans. ISU has set up a special web page, security.ilstu.edu/coronavirus. FedEx plane makes emergency landing at CIRA. A Federal Express cargo plane landed safely at Central Illinois Regional Airport on Tuesday morning after a plane indicator light signaled a possible engine fire. Two crew members were aboard and no injuries were reported, Fran Strebing, CIRA Deputy Director of Marketing, told the Pantograph. There was never a visual confirmation that there was a fire, she said. The 757-200 cargo plane was in flight from Omaha to Indianapolis when an indicator light signaled a possible engine fire, Strebing said. CIRA was the closest airport. At 9:10 a.m., an emergency alert was issued by CIRA's Air Traffic Control Tower, reporting that the 757-200 cargo plane was coming in with a possible engine fire. Bloomington Fire Department responded to the scene. If there was a fire, it was out by the time the aircraft landed safely and the plane was able to taxi to the cargo ramp. Neither of the two crew members were injured. At 9:27 a.m., airport operations returned to normal. The aircraft departed CIRA at 12:03 p.m. Tuesday. Strebing said, "We are happy this incident proceeded without issue." Zoo announces otter pup birth. Say ah. Tallulah and Spencer, North American river otters living at Miller Park Zoo, have become parents. The two pups were born February 25th at the zoo and can be viewed along with their mom through a monitor in the zoo hospital window. It was the fifth litter for Tallulah, but the first offspring for Spencer. Few otters reproduce in zoos and aquariums. There have only been 8 litters in the last 12 months in the 113 institutions accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums. A typical litter is 3 pups, but can be anywhere from 1 to 5. Otter pups are always great for our guests and for the river otter population in general, said Zoo Superintendent Jay Tetzloff. We're excited to watch them grow up, and I encourage people to stop by and see them. The opportunity to name the pups will be auctioned at ZooDo in September. And the zoo stampede is planned for Saturday. The 23rd annual Miller Park Zoo Stampede will be Saturday morning. Runners and walkers will pass through Miller Park, the surrounding neighborhood, and part of the zoo. Miller Park Zoological Society hosts the 5K run, 3K walk, and quarter mile fun run event to benefit the zoo. This year's proceeds will support the new outdoor theater, which is being moved to a new location to make way for future exhibits. The 5K begins at the Miller Park Pavilion, is chip-timed on an accurately measured course that is mostly flat with a few rolling hills. Registration for all three events is available at itsracetime.com, at the Miller Park Zoo gift shop, and from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday and 8 to 9:15 a.m. Saturday at the Miller Park Pavilion. For more information, contact the Zoological Society at 309 343-2243. And the area calendar again for today, you can register for the Miller Park Zoo Stampede at 9 a.m., which will take place on March 7th. The Miller Park Pavilion, Bloomington. 5K run, 3K walk, quarter mile fun run. Benefits the Miller Park Zoo Outdoor Theater. Register again at itsracetime.com, the Miller Park Zoo Gift Shop, and at the Miller Park Pavilion. Thursday, registration for the Drawing Series for Adults. It will be held from 1:15 to 3 p.m. on March 19th, April 2nd, and April 9th at the Normal Public Library. The teachers will be ISU students. Registration is required at normalpl.org. The JV Chapter PEO will meet at 7 p.m. Thursday at the home of J.C. Dixon. The topic is Growing in Our Sisterhood, PEO Constitution Discussion, Election, and Installation of Officers. Unit 5 Reads will be held from 6 to 7 p.m. March 5th, 9th, and 16th at the Normal Public Library. Principals from Unit 5 schools will share their stories. And the Autism Cafe will be from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. March 5th at the Normal Public Library. There will be a themed social hour with other adults living with autism in a safe, quiet environment. Crime Stoppers, Woman Wanted for Aggravated DUI. Bloomington Crime Stoppers of McLean County needs the public's help in finding a person who's wanted for felony charges. Regina M. Evans, 43, is 5 feet 8 inches tall and weighs 140 pounds. She has red hair and green eyes. Her last known address is in Normal, Illinois. Evans is wanted for aggravated DUI. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. To report this or other crime, contact Crime Stoppers at 309-828-1111. Normal man charged with 5 drug felonies. Drug charges are pending against a Normal man. Joseph S. Katz, 20, of the 700 block of West Gregory Street, is charged with unlawful delivery of less than 5 grams of MDMA, unlawful delivery of less than 50 grams of alprazolam, unlawful possession of 500 to 2,000 grams of cannabis with the intent to deliver, unlawful possession of 500 to 2,000 grams of cannabis, and unlawful possession of less than 50 grams of alprazolam with the intent to deliver. Court documents indicate the alleged deliveries and possessions occurred from September 20th to March 2nd, all in Normal. Katz was also charged with an unrelated misdemeanor theft of a bicycle in Normal, an arrest made by the Illinois State University Police Department. He was released from custody on a $50,000 personal recognizance bond. Court overturns Whalen ruling. Donald Whalen, who spent 28 years in prison for his father's murder, will return to court after an appellate court overturned a local ruling. The Fourth Appellate Court, in a 3-0 decision, ruled Tuesday that McLean County Judge Scott Drzeski erred in allowing a petition for relief in judgment and vacating Whalen's murder conviction. In March 2019, Drzeski ruled that newly discovered evidence had the potential to change the outcome of Whalen's 1991 trial. After posting bond, Waylon has lived at his mother's home under home confinement rules. Waylon served 28 of the 30 years he was required to serve of the 60-year prison sentence he received when he was convicted in 1991 of stabbing Bill Waylon at what was then the 20 Grand Tap, a downtown Bloomington bar owned by the elder Waylon. But the appellate court said further proceedings are needed so the court can determine whether a different result after a new trial would be probably or more likely than not based on the new evidence in the case considered alongside the original trial evidence. Bloomington's 5-day forecast today will be partly sunny with a high of 49 degrees. Tonight will be partly cloudy with a low of 32. Thursday, some sun, windy and mild, with temperatures ranging from 55 to 30 degrees. On Friday, winds will be subsiding and it will be a bit cooler. Expect temperatures from 44 to 27 degrees. Saturday, increasingly windy. The temperature is expected to be a high of 53 degrees and a low of 40 degrees. And Sunday will be warmer with sun. The high will be 62 degrees and the low will be 47. The American Red Cross serving central and southern Illinois presents Evening of the Stars featuring Trace Adkins. It will be held on Wednesday, April 29th at 6 p.m. The cash bar opens, and at 7 p.m. there will be a dinner. This will be at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal. Tickets are $200, and you can purchase them at redcross.org/EOS tickets or by calling 309-253-8572. Girls World Expo in partnership with Pantograph Media. Honor an exceptional girl. Nominate her for a Girl of Merit Award, which will be presented at the Girls World Expo on Sunday, May 3rd from noon to 4 p.m. Nominate an exceptional girl today at bit.ly/BLMGOM. The Bloomington Reads 2020 program series will spotlight the book White Rose by Kip Wilson. Community members are encouraged to read one of the library's many copies of the book and attend library programs based on themes from the book, which highlights the story of the White Rose Organization, a resistance group of young adults who opposed Hitler from inside Nazi Germany. To find out all the different events that surround the reading of this book, visit bloomingtonlibrary.org. And the Bloomington Normal Home Show will take place on March 6th, 7th, and 8th at Interstate Center, 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington. Everything for your building and remodeling needs. This is family-friendly. There will be affordable concessions and free parking. There's so much to see at Home Show 2020. Admission is $6 for adults, free for those 18 and under with an adult. Military and those 65 plus pay $4 on Saturday and Sunday only. The event will be Friday, March 6th from 5 to 9 p.m., Saturday, March 7th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Sunday, March 8th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is sponsored by the Bloomington Normal Area Builders Association. We will take a short break now, and then I'll return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for March 4th, 2020. Please stay tuned.